And while you're turning there and preparing your minds to anticipate what I'm going to say on the subject of work, I remember years ago when I worked for a hospital contract management company, and we were taking applications for a position that we wanted to fill. And we'd put this position in the paper. And I was reading through all the different applications, and one just stood out in my mind. I've never forgotten it. And, you know, we asked lots of questions, and then we put somewhere in that application, position desired. And on this blank, that blank was filled out like this: main man. That was the position desired. Main man. Well, needless to say, that person we didn't interview for the job. oftentimes in looking for people for work, it's hard to discover whether they can really work or not, and if their resume is as they say it is, and sometimes you just have to bite the bullet and wait and see what happens. As I discuss this subject tonight with you, I'll try to pepper it a little bit with some humor. Maybe that'll help the pill go down a little easier. But really, I think when we stop and examine what God has to say about the matter of work, we'll find that work is a very wonderful thing. Probably more than anything we need today, as we think about work and the high calling that God has given each of us, is to have a good balance between learning to balance our work with the important things of the kingdom of God. And as we discussed this morning, our need personally, spiritually, as we seek to grow and as we seek really to be obedient to the Lord. And all these things, I'm encouraged because when you think about them, we're looking at examples of the Lord. And I hope that what we're looking at things that He has already blazed the trail for us, so we can just observe and learn from Him things that are precious to His heart. So if you don't mind, just follow along with me again in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished, and on the seventh day God ended His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Father, we submit ourselves tonight to the authority and the blessing of Your holy word. And we want to glean tonight, and we ask for just the ability to take in what You want for us to consider. Some of us, we need instruction tonight. And You alone know those in here tonight who need that instruction. Others of us, we need encouragement, and we look to You, Father, for that encouragement. We, some here tonight, are in need of affirmation that what we're doing is exactly what You've called us to do, and we just need to be told, keep on going, keep working, and not lose heart. Father, help us tonight to evaluate as You evaluate, and may we esteem tonight precious what You esteem precious. We pray in our Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the things that has been given to me by someone else, and I'm going to quote this: God, being a worker, endows all legitimate work with an intrinsic dignity. And you see that association in here as He's recorded for us that on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had done, and rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. I am not proud to say this, but I grew up with the silver spoon in my mouth, and I didn't know the first thing about work. Work to me was a bad thing to be avoided at all costs. You ran. You devised ways to get out of it. As a matter of fact, it was so bad for me that in my senior year of high school, I had learned to cheat so I didn't have to work studying, and literally graduated from high school with a diploma in cheating rather than a normal high school diploma. I'm not proud of that. I'm just saying you can see how far one end of the extreme can go. And when the Lord saved me, Guess where he put me? Some of you know this. He sent me to Bob Jones University. And if you don't know much about Bob Jones University, one thing I can tell you, they have a strong work ethic there, and they push their scholastic achievements very hard. I'm telling you what, I thought I'd been sentenced to Siberia, a Christian Siberia, and I mean, I was in trouble. I didn't know the first thing about anything. I didn't understand grammar. I barely knew how to add and subtract. I could barely read with any comprehension skills. I couldn't write my way out of a wet paper bag. I was a mess. And it all came down to this philosophy of being very me-oriented and looking at work and labor and the expenditure of labor as a very cruel thing in life. And that life basically was for you to just kick back and do whatever you wanted to do. Now, I say that because that's the one extreme. And the other extreme, as it's obvious in some places, is that work becomes a god. And work is an all-consuming entity. And work becomes an end in and of itself, and people are known as workaholics to the point where they can't do anything else but work. And work for them is really a place to hide because there's other issues in life they haven't learned to deal with. And so tonight I just want to look at the wholesome perspective of work from God's point of view. And it's not to browbeat anybody here. This is not the heart's desire. It's to encourage us. And I'm thinking about the person who's got the mundane job that's got to clock it in at 7 o'clock every morning and punch it out at 4:30 in the afternoon every day, day in and day out, Monday through Friday or Tuesday through Saturday, or for some shift work through the weekend and on Sundays. And you say to yourself, what is the meaning of life? And I hope and pray tonight God will give us all a deep appreciation for the value of work. One of the things that we often chuckle at, and I probably more than others because I understand the mentality of a lazy man, having been in that camp, and maybe I still am, just don't understand it, but I like this one, and I've collected a few of these. The one says, the young high school graduate applied for his first job in a local machine shop. He filled out the application and came to the question that asked, what machines can you operate? And the young man thought for a long time, and then he wrote, Pac-Man and Donkey Kong. Well, we chuckle a little bit, and you know, I was watching a special on the military. They're actually watching these kids that have played these video games, and they're now looking at them very hard as already having trained in some of the skills that they want to pass on to their young new pilots in getting them proficient in some of these new fighter planes they're building. So I guess that's a little dated, but you catch the point. This is a good one. This fellow had received his paycheck, and there was a little note in the paycheck, and the paycheck, when he opened it, he read this little note, and it says, your raise will become effective as soon as you do. I like that one. You know, sometimes when you see young kids especially, and they're given a job to do, I remember helping a brother in the meeting back in Little Rock do some work, and he had hired somebody else to help us do a little something, and he gave him this rate and said, now we're going to go get some more supplies to get back. We'll move you on to another job. And I don't think this guy ever saw a rake in his life. And he was in the same position when we got back. And not one leaf had been bagged. I mean, he was just all there. And my friend asked him, he says, what's the matter here? And he says, sir, you don't know how hard this is. I mean, we had to laugh. Come on, what is there about raking leaves and putting them in a bag? I thought, come on, give me a break. You know, I wanted to take the rake and give him a good and get him motivated. And that's coming from an ex-lazy man. One more, and this one we all kind of, two more, just to kind of help us appreciate this a little bit. One, we've heard this, and he says, if you don't believe in the resurrection of the dead, this is for you younger folks that haven't heard this. Most of us have been around for a while. We've heard this one about 10, 20 times. If you don't believe in the resurrection of the dead, you should be around here at quitting time. Man, I can remember the opportunity at many occasions when I was ever too glad for quitting time to come and head home. And that's not a bad thing, by the way. I don't want you to feel guilty if you're looking forward to getting off of work. But a lot of guys, they confuse this coworker observed this in one of the others at work and says, well, now this person works 8 hours and sleeps 8 hours. But I don't think she knows the difference between which 8 hours she's supposed to sleep and work. They're one and the same to her. A farmer put up this sign at the entrance of his pasture. Hunters, please don't shoot anything on my place that isn't moving. Might be my new hired hand. I love that one. Well, you get the point. There's all kinds of things that people have written and have commented on. And when we think about it, I'm a firm believer that many a truth is said in jest. And we chuckle because we know we've had to either work with somebody underneath us or we've struggled with it ourselves. One of the things that I'd like to look at is the beauty of work, and to understand that when God gave Adam the responsibility of work in Genesis, you'll notice in verse 15, we read, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. Some of your translations might very well read, to work and keep it. And that is certainly important for us to consider tonight, because I think sometimes we think work is a curse. And I like to say work is a great blessing. And work was God's idea, and it came along long before the curse. But when we think about the curse, we have to understand, and we do, I think all of us to some degree or another, understand that it's not always the most rewarding thing if we've been given a task to do that we don't particularly care for to have to apply ourselves to that task. And in a general sense, we have to also bear in mind, as God was instructing Adam after he sinned over in chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field, and in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. One of the realities of work is the simple, fundamental understanding that work has been cursed by God. The very thing given as a blessing to us has been cursed. Now we may find that a little hard to take, and we may say to ourselves, why would God do that? And depending on what you've heard in the past on this passage, and this also has the same application to marriage, but God has set something within the fundamental responsibilities and blessings of life to get all of our attention. And that is the attention that is necessary to say something is not right. Why don't I enjoy what I do? Why is work such a labor for me, and why do I struggle with it? And this is a fundamental wake-up call that God has put within all of His creation, so that when we think about this, we step back and we say, God is saying something to me. And God is speaking to me. If I don't know Him as my Savior, I don't have real purpose in my work. I may have ambitions, I may have goals. And there are times when even in the unsaved arena, people enjoy what they do. I've heard it said so many times, if you don't enjoy what you do, quit the job and find something you enjoy doing. So you look at somebody's resume and realize they've had about 20 jobs in the last 15 days, you realize they're on a desperate search for significance in what they do, and they haven't found it yet. And what God is calling us to bear in mind is that He alone gives purpose to our work. And when we understand that work is a gift given to us by God, and I think we all, as believers, have a basic understanding of that, but that we really yield to the purpose that God has for us in work, no task, regardless of how mundane or remedial or repetitious that it might seem to be, is without deep purpose. And I think sometimes, as His people, we need deep encouragement to know that our everyday mundane tasks have divine purpose in it. And that's my goal tonight, by the grace of God, is to give us that sense of blessing to know there is no sense of work that doesn't have real importance before the heart of God in our lives. Now, with that in mind, I'd like to take a look at what we as believers can expect with respect to working. And I say this in the sense that, how do we look at it as redeemed? We know that if Genesis chapter 3 is for the unsaved person, and cursed is the ground for your sake, does that mean then as believers the curse over work has been completely removed? Can you say that about those of you who are married? Can you say that the curse is completely removed over the marriage? Isn't there still the elements of the flesh that still try to raise their ugly heads even in the marriage relationship? And we'll find the same to be true with respect to work. God doesn't promise to take the pain or the toil out of work. He promises to encourage us with significance in our work. And that's the key thing. And to do that, I think passages, and I realize Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 speaks to us in the realm of the wonderful things that God has called every single one of us to do with respect to our new life in Christ. I would also like to just catch that beautiful truth and ride that for a little bit in the sense that with the beauty of Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do, we see three beautiful realities. Number one, we've all been given a task. Number two, we all have an ability. And number three, we all have a place to serve. Some of you young ones, in the home, you're learning what it means to clean, to take responsibilities, and to carry them out and to do them on a regular basis. You may not like them. And you may think it's drudgery, and you may think it's a sentence. Mom and Dad are after me. I don't like to clean the kitty litter box. And I don't like to take out stinking garbage. And I don't like to have to keep my room clean and picked up. But you know, they're doing you a great favor. They're blessing you with a godly ethic. And that ethic, a spiritual ethic, is that work is a good thing, not an evil thing. You will learn this in life as each of us have the opportunity to understand that work is what brings honor and glory to God through our lives. And it gives us a sense of purpose so that we stay away from the sensational aspect of wanting the million-dollar career. And I want to say this real carefully, and I hope this is not taken the wrong way. You know, there's a lot of young guys that want to go out into full-time work. And I'm all for them. I really am. I'm all for young men and young ladies who feel called by God to serve the Lord full-time. But sometimes I have seen a trend to where they don't like what they see in the real world, so they think it's better to serve in the spiritual world, and that's where they head, and they're no more called to it than a man on the moon. And what I see is, and I think you do too from time to time, There's a sense in which we all want to find some sense of significance in the work that we've been given to do. You look at a mom and the work that she does in the home. I mean, how many different creative ways can you do laundry? Seriously. I mean, I love great new dishes, but I mean, there's only so many ways you can cook an apple and slice it and present it. You could have music and beautiful, you know, glitter falling out of the sky, and I'm over embellishing this point, but the point I want to make is this, is that a lot of times the things we long for are found right under our noses in the everyday life that God has called us to live. And sometimes we just don't see it. And the Lord says, I want to point to you the value and the beauty of work. I think of this true story, and years ago I was asked to join Dr. Gooding and a couple of others that had had a desire to study Scripture and maybe serve the Lord in some way. And I don't know why I was in that group. Somebody threw my name in the hat and said, John, you'll go. I'm paying your way. So I went. And these were, I mean, most of you would know all these people because they're serving the Lord in some capacity today full time. And in that room, Dr. Gooding, after he conducted one of the lessons one night, he said, I want each of you men to stand up and share why you think God's called you to do what you believe He's called you to do. And tell us a little bit about the work He's calling you to. You talk about people swallowing their Adam's apple. I mean, you can just hear everybody collectively go, So I listened to Men You Know. And I'm sitting there shaking in my boots like this. And I'm thinking, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. I just came along to want to study. I just wanted to be here with everybody. What am I going to say? And they went around the room, and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, boy, he's called. Yeah, oh, it's obvious. God's hands on his life. And I'm sitting there, and then there's this guy from North Carolina that stands up. You know this man. You don't know him specifically, but you know the type of man he is. Stuttered all over his speech. Very backwards. Very inept. Very unpolished in his personal presentation of what it was that he felt he should do. But at the end of trying to stumble through why he was there, he broke down and he wept. I know this won't seem like much to others, but he says, I do the janitorial work in the building where the Christians meet. And he says, when Christians come in that place and when non-believers come in that place, I don't want them to go to the restroom and look at a dirty restroom or a bad odor. And I don't want them to see junk out in the front yard, and I don't want them to see that this place is just half maintained. When people come here and they think about this being where they associate the Lord Jesus Christ, I want the first impression of Jesus Christ to be tops. I mean, we all just, I mean, all these eloquent men, we were all tears streaming down. I mean, it was like the Holy Spirit gripped all of us and said, I'm looking for men who understand that when I call you to a job, regardless of what I call you to, it's a high calling. And that I want to use you as a vessel that I can shine Christ through in your life. I've never forgotten that. I'm constantly in need of learning from him. I've never forgotten that man. And I don't think he was a fake. So, when we think about it, God doesn't promise to take the pain out of work. He doesn't promise to take the mundane out of it, but he does promise to put meaning to it. And I think I would rather have meaning to my work, really, over the fact that I'm doing some of the greatest work on the planet. Because if you stop and think about it, you are. You really are. One of the things that we are often encouraged with. And I hope I can just put myself in your shoes tonight and say, I listen with you. When I hear preachers preach, I listen to what they say. And I hear some preachers say, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And my first question is, okay, I hear that, but tell me, how do I do everything to the glory of God? And especially in the area of work, how do I, as a Christian, I really want to know that. Do I have a smile on my face? Is it something that I do with a pleasing spirit? What is it? And you have your questions that are valid too, and your concerns. And I've just jotted a couple of these passages down. For instance, Colossians 3:17 says, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." And that means even though my work situation or the job that I've been given to do or the job you have may be a temporary thing, God has permitted it there, and I need to say, God, thank you for this little exercise. Either you're teaching me humility or you're teaching me an aspect of patience, or you're teaching me the beauty of the Lord Jesus as He labored under situations that were so, so despicable to Him. And yet He persevered on and He gave good testimony to you. Sometimes we may feel we're in a nowhere, nothing job. And it may be that that is the situation in and of itself. But we must understand that for the child of God, No work that is legitimate and honest before God is without divine meaning and purpose. And I want to look at that just briefly with you in the next session that I'd like to just go over. So when we say, if I do all to the glory of God, how? What does that mean to me? One of the things that I understand in the aspect of work that the Lord is asking us to look at is that we do it with a diligent spirit. Doesn't mean that I always do it. I get up in the morning, yeah! Monday morning at 8 o'clock and I'm hitting the rat race. Can't wait. Can't wait to get on the freeway. Can't wait to get my car blown off the highway and everybody honking their horn at me and then a mad boss on Monday. Oh, I just can't wait. That doesn't mean that's diligence. Diligence means that I know that where I go, every time I open the door, I'm there because God has called me there. I have a purpose there. I do something there that gives God opportunity in my life and in the lives of people around me. But we also understand that in the sense of being diligent about our work, we can also say that God is gracious to us in the sense of giving us an understanding that we also have a responsibility in our work to reflect the greatness of Jesus Christ. For instance, 2 Thessalonians 3:6 says, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And I like the way Paul addressed those at Thessalonica. "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you received from us." And in verse 10, he goes on to say, "For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, if a man will not work, he shall not eat." Wow. And what we understand is the first address that Paul gave, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you." So that our work, its underpinning, it's the whole purpose we're there for is for Him. Whatever we're doing, we're there for Him. I remember an elderly man came up to me one time and he told me about a little bit of work that he was doing, and when I was done, I was just shaking my head, and I was just amazed at the faithfulness that he had had over the years to do this job every single time he was called to do it. And he did it with such care. And he wasn't bitter about it. So one of the aspects of it is that there's a sense of diligence in it. A diligence to the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that's strong language. Paul is connecting our work with the testimony of Jesus Christ in our lives. Number two, he says, godliness is associated with work. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if a man does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So when we think about the sense of the provision that we are to give to our families, God attaches a sense of care and a sense in which we uphold and confirm what it really means to be believers in Jesus Christ. Because we're responsible. And we reflect the responsibility of God to care for others that we're connected with through our work. Sometimes I have to ask myself, am I truly a hard worker? And if I am I doing it for the Lord or for me? Am I doing it for personal gain? Am I doing it for the next promotion? Am I doing it because I want something? And I'm not, folks, I think we have to be careful not to over embellish one point at the expense of another. Sometimes there's things that we may work overtime for, and we may do things that are necessary. But the overall goal of our lives is, why do we work? What's the purpose in it? Is it so that we will feel happy and fulfilled? I think there's a correlating benefit that we get, and I'd like to cover those benefits here in just a moment. Number three, is our work wholehearted? When we say we do everything to the glory of God, can we say that the work I do is wholehearted? Not in the sense that, I have to use this because I don't know how else to do it. Who gets wholeheartedly enthusiastic about cleaning the toilets at McDonald's? Who loves that job? No one. No one in their right mind enjoys going in with a plunger and sticking it in there. And then, you know, and then, and with good caution. I'm not saying somebody shouldn't be cautious, but I'm just saying, are we supposed to be wholehearted about that, or is it that this is a job that should be done? I know that, I'm a weirdo, and if you haven't figured that out by now, well, stick around a little longer and you'll find out. I'm an oddball, and I know that. You know what I like to do? I like to thank coming servicemen that are coming back from Iraq. When I see them walk down the concourse in an airport, I go out of my way and I say, I just want you to know, I personally thank you for putting your life on the line for me. I had a guy turn around the other day in the airport, looked at me, and he said, sir, thank you for saying that. It means more to me than you know. And sometimes, back east, if you're ever in the New Jersey airport, they have restroom attendants. I mean, people are in there ready to hand you things, and of course they like a tip. I mean, they're supposed to be there, okay? They're not out of place. This isn't the bad side of town. They're, I don't know what they call them, I didn't ask. But I thought, wow, that's something else. But sometimes when I'm using the facilities and I notice the worker's in there working and he's trying to do the best job he can, I'll look over at him and I say, I know that's a dirty job, but I want you to know, I'm glad it means something to you that you clean that. Thank you for doing a good job. They look at you like, what's wrong with you? Yeah, I'm an oddball. But I believe those are things that even though they're not glamorous, and there's not a lot of prestige that goes to them, who's going to do them? Now, I'm not saying we should all aspire to be toilet cleaners when we grow up. But what I am saying is if God directs that and that's all that you can do, then you do it with all your heart. And you say, Lord, if this is what I'm to do, I'll do it. Most of us won't be called to that. But there are people who are and will. The next time you see a janitor walking around in Walmart or Kmart, remember, that's a job for them. They may not like the job, but they're trying their best and they're doing something. Sometimes we have such a perverted view of things, don't we? We don't see like the Lord sees. And what He wants us to do is to understand it's not about us getting off on some ego trip at our work. It's to understand, I've been given a job to do. And in this job, it's more than just doing a function. This job is an opportunity for me to reflect something of the character of my gracious God to a people around me that are so blinded by their own greed they can't see anything else. Wholeheartedness. So it should be diligent. It should be with a sense of commitment, and it should be wholeheartedly. You know the difference between wholehearted and half-hearted, don't you? Forgive me, my kids will shoot me when I say this. Some of them are here tonight. They all go, boom. Okay, who's he going to pick on now? I'm going to get my granddaughter first. John, you're a bad grandpa. You're just bad. Bad to the bone. But you'll know, if you get to see her do this, this is just classic. She has a smile that is her sort of half-hearted smile, and then there's her wholehearted smile. And she gave us, they told me it's the plastic smile. And you know the plastic smile. The plastic smile is like this. And she gave that to us when we got off the plane the other day in Bemidji. And there she is, and she's waiting in the arms, and she sees Grandpa and Grandma coming down the thing there, and all of a sudden we see Sarah and we say hi to Sarah, and then there's Greta, and she's and she's got this on her face for about 5 minutes. And I thought, oh, poor Greta, I'm making you pretty uncomfortable. Poor thing. And she's coming. Now, when you see her, at least I see her, I've gotten to know her a little bit. And it's the same with Edward. You know, he kind of looks at me like this. Now he's starting to warm up and he goes. And Greta's got this, and you can tell when she goes from plastic to real because she's got a little dimple right here on the top of her cheek. And that little dimple shows up when it's real. Forgive me, guys. I'm going to get beat up when I go back to the room, and I have it coming. But the point is this. It may not be something that we're jumping up and down about in our spirits to say, wow, I love this job, I want more of it, but rather we say to the Lord, Lord, since this is what you've given me to do, I want to do it with all my heart to you. Ladies, and guys, if you do the cooking and cleaning at home and do the pots and pans, remember in the millennium, on the pots and pans, it will be written, holiness to the Lord. I don't know about you, but that makes me weep to understand that there isn't anything for a child of God that if it's done right and with a whole heart, that isn't meaningful in the heart and the eyes of God. I just want to encourage you tonight through the Word to understand your day in, day out, menial task, whatever it is that you've been given to do. If you love your work, you thank God for it. That's a blessing. But most of us have to do the same thing over and over and over again. And what God is looking for is the heart who says, you know what, Lord, I take this with the right attitude that you want me to, and I want to expand in my gratefulness toward you and the work you've given me to do. Well, one last area, and that's the benefits. Sometimes we don't always see the immediate benefits of the work that God has given us to do, but I've just jotted a few of these things down. I know you have other ideas. Feel free to drop them off to me. I'm always looking for improvement. One of the great benefits of work is that we learn the value of self-control. Work is a good disciplinary thing in the sense of learning to control our lives. It doesn't mean that it's an end-all, but it's a great addition to giving us a sense of being controlled people. And you know, as we said earlier, the great blessing of being Spirit-filled and being refilled with the Holy Spirit is a rededication not to let the self-life control. And yet on the other hand, I don't wish to minimize the wonderful filling of God's Spirit, but there's no real magic in that in the sense that what God is saying is, be filled with the Spirit, not with wine, where is in excess, in other words, in dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And that filling means that every time I'm willing to yield myself and let the Word of God control me, I'm being filled with the Spirit. When I deny myself by God's grace and just say, you know, it's better that He control this, I'm being filled with the Spirit because I'm seeking His control, not mine. So we that's enhanced. One of my favorite proverbs is Proverbs 25:28, which says, a man who has no self-control is like a city wall broken down. You know what that implies? That means the enemy runs through it at will. There's no defensive barrier. Number two, a proper sense of accomplishment and satisfaction. God wants us to be able to say, even though we may not always see the tangible results of our work, if we've done it in the right heart, we've done it as unto Him, there's a sense of satisfaction in that. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 2:24, nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. So the labor that we are participating in has a sense of satisfaction if done with the right heart before the Lord. Number three, it lifts one out of idleness. You remember grandmother telling you? I say this, my grandmother never did this, so I have to say this. Maybe some of you remember some of your grandmothers saying, or your mother saying, now remember, Junior, idleness is the devil's workshop. And we kind of chuckle and laugh at it, but there's a lot of truth in that. Too much free time is a dangerous thing if not utilized in the right way. And work is a blessing, a God-given blessing to help us channel our energies and be productive. It also teaches us the value of things. Since I was the spoiled brat, I often tease with people I don't know, but I don't have any of this wealth. I don't have access to it anymore. It's all gone. I couldn't help you if I wanted to. So it wouldn't do any good to come see me afterwards for a loan. I don't have it. But one of the greatest blessings for me was the day when I wanted a car and the guardian of our estate said, son, the only way you're going to get a car is to work for it. No one's going to give it to you. I didn't like that. But I understood after working in the oil fields for a couple of summers and then having enough to buy a car, let me tell you, I took care of that car. And work teaches you the value of things, a proper value of things. Not to be materialistic, but to say, you know what? That costs something. Money doesn't grow on trees, and I have to be a good steward. All work, I believe, is an opportunity to learn that valuable lesson. And then finally, and I think we all would say to the extent that we understand this in its general way, it develops a good habit. Work is a good habit in its right context. It teaches us that to apply ourselves consistently and diligently at something, at somewhere along the line, has a good payoff. So those are just some of the things that I've jotted down. I just want to close by, I hope, encouraging you and my own heart with these passages that I've just jotted down. A lot of times we think our work's going to end here. The old tombstone epitaph used to always read "RIP," rest in peace. You know, and everybody thinks when you die you're in your rest. Well, there's a great blessing in that. But how about Revelation 7:15 that says, "Therefore they are before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple." They serve Him day and night in His temple. So, work's a beautiful thing, and we're going to work in eternity. We're going to serve Him in eternity, day and night, and it will be a pleasure to do so. So encourage your hearts in the fact that someday the curse will be totally removed from us, and we will be brought back into the joy that was Adam's before he fell in the garden. And be assured that your work right now is holy to the Lord. Take courage that you're doing what He wants you to do if you do it with a right heart and a right spirit. And I believe He's going to be gracious even in the days when we're... I think the Lord is far more generous than we make Him out to be. Our Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us. I just pray these thoughts tonight on work will have a lodging place in the proper way in our lives. We ask for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.